Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
This is Hardwood Handicappers, VSiN's premier NBA betting podcast.
Welcome in, Hardwood Handicappers. Kelly Bidlin, Zach Cohen here. Friday, February 2nd. JVT's got the day off. You're going to have a lot of Fridays with just me and Zach going forward. Zach, how you doing, my friend?
Doing well. Finally got back in the win column last night. I felt like it had been a while.
There we go. Yeah, I had to sweat that team total under on the Grizzlies all the way through last night. But that was I got home, so there we go. A couple winners. I like it. Let's see. There's a lot to hit on today. Usually on these Fridays, I think you're going to get a lot of me and Zach flying through the card. But, oh, boy, do we have things to talk about. Joel Embiid, I'm going to start right there. We have reports that his meniscus will be further evaluated. What are we going with right now, Zach? Strained? Is that what the team's going with? Because I've seen about 4 different reports and things from the team.
Yeah, I don't know. I do think that that's probably the official diagnosis, because they did say – you know, it seems like it's more of a couple of days. Like, you know, they're reevaluating him this weekend as opposed to, you know, a few weeks. So I do think it's got to be more of a strain than a real tear.
Yeah, we did get reports of a tear early. That was, I think that was kind of I don't think it was retracted, but there was a report of a tear. And then we've just got meniscus injuries. He's being evaluated this weekend. I'm sorry, I'm going to double back to you real quick. Did you just say you don't think it's that bad?
I think it's probably something that'll be like another 2-3 weeks. I don't think we're talking about months.
Okay. Yeah, and I do think that there is, I mean, I was reading up a little bit on it this morning. It's so hard to, I don't really want to speculate too much. I think people sound like idiots when they speculate over injuries, but depending on the severity of it is, it could be light. It could be, who knows, a few games, something like that. It could be season ending. It could be 6-8 weeks and they might just be getting him ready for the playoffs. I think regardless though, when you're talking MVP, I think shut the door on that conversation. Yeah. It is officially over. Right now he is 60-1 over at DraftKings to win the MVP. I would not bet that with your money, Zach. I would not bet that with any of our listeners' money. I think shut the door. I don't think there's any chance. I think they are really using this weekend. I think they already know what the extent of the injury is. We just haven't been told yet. I think they're going to use this weekend to really figure out exactly what the best course of action is to make sure he is fully prepared and ready to go for the playoffs. So whatever that entails, or you know, can they get him there? I guess that would be the best way to say it, depending on the injury. So right now your MVP market. Nikola Jokic -140, SGA +275, Luka Doncic +550, Giannis 7-1, and then we jump all the way down to Jason Tatum next at 40-1. Jalen Brunson's been steamed all the way up to 50-1. I think he got bet in every market last night. And then it's Embiid at 60. That's where it stands right now. Zach, I have been adding, I think I've bet Giannis about four times over the past 3 weeks. A couple bets on Shea at, you know, over 3.5 to 1. Current numbers, Giannis at 7 to 1 still kind of long to me. I honestly would have no problem with anybody adding on to Giannis there. We've talked about it a lot here, but just where he ranks at. Where he ranks at in EPM, but a bunch of the advanced analytics. You're talking about a guy who could end up having the highest scoring season of his career. He could end up having the most assists per game he's ever had in his career in a season. I think you can still make a strong case for Giannis on a team that is second place in the Eastern Conference. So 7 to 1, I still think it's kind of long. I'm kind of done right now adding bets from where I'm at, but I don't know how you feel. That number on Giannis is still a little long.
Yeah, I think it's a little long. I was actually happy to see Brunson move to 50 to 1. I said it a few days ago, but he didn't deserve to be at 100 to 1. He's been playing a lot better than that. He's not a guy that, you know, can actually win, but he deserves to kind of be mentioned at the top just for what he has done with that Knicks team.
Yeah, it's funny you say it because I made a very small bet on him at 90 to 1 last night.
Okay,
but
yeah.
I think I've been pretty clear on this podcast that my strategy is basically trying to get anybody but Nikola Jokic home. So
yeah.
We'll see how badly I get beat in for making that decision, but I have no interest in betting on Jokic or Doncic right now. So I am kind of, that's why I'm so heavy SGA Giannis. And I think if there is anybody that makes a serious run, I'll probably be trying to add tickets at long prices before they get too short here over the next couple months. But I don't think it's very realistic, even if he finishes the season with just ridiculous numbers, that Jalen Brunson can do enough to get himself up into that conversation. I know Knicks fans are excited right now. They should be. This team is awesome. It's amazing to see what they're doing with even the injuries that they do have to Julius Randle, to OG Anunoby, to Mitchell Robinson. It's just been incredible to watch what they've done without him. But does he really belong in the same conversation with some of these other top tier guys? I don't know if I can get to that.
Yeah, that's where I am. I don't actually think he has a chance, but it's nice to see him getting a little more recognition because he's probably right there in like tier two of MVP candidates. I guess the only one that I would say that I would be considering adding, and I think I might add it still, I think Kawhi, the fact that we could still get him at 100 to 1,
yeah.
And even after all that talk that JVT did earlier in the year, you know, of just how this he's the best player on one of the best teams in the league. Like, we've only seen him continue to play well. So it's a little surprising to see him down there. Maybe it's, you know, there's too much firepower on that team. You know, he doesn't get enough credit because Paul George and James Harden. But, man, that's a tempting number at this point.
The price is still too long. I'm with you. I mean, I grabbed that 150 to 1 with JVT when he bet that. I mean, again, how realistic is it gets home? I don't know. It's probably more realistic, though, than Jalen Brunson if we're just comparing the two. I mean, I think the big difference, and to your point about that number still being long, the big difference is just where the Western Conference standings have changed, right? Now we're talking about the Clippers. What are they, a half game out?
Yep.
Of first place right now? I mean, if you start talking about a Western Conference as the Clippers, oh no, I'm two games out. Jeez, what the hell was I looking at? What the hell? These standings at ESPN are all screwed up. That's incredible. I'm literally seeing the Timberwolves, Thunder one game back, Clippers two game back, and then the Nuggets fourth at 1.5 games back.
Oh, I am seeing.
Oh, is that division stuff?
I think so.
That's what it is. Yeah. Okay, there we go. That makes more sense.
But yeah, I mean, the Clippers get into the top two or somehow get the top seed in the West. You're talking about the best player on the best team, and you know, we've only seen him stay healthy since we talked about it earlier in the year.
Yep, no, totally. It feels weird to be having a big Kawhi Leonard a pump-up pod without JVT on it. Yeah. I mean, and you know, if you are, like, I haven't jumped in on any of these, but, like, those most wins markets and stuff, Zach, like, man, every time I look at that, I just feel like the Celtics are kind of overpriced. They're, like, they're such massive favorites. There's still so many games to go, and you're just looking at, like, I mean, yes, they lost, had an ugly loss last night to the Lakers, but, like, okay, in the loss column, you're talking about the Timberwolves are two losses behind them. The Thunder, yeah. Three. Clippers are three. Like, I'm not saying I'm running to make any of those bets, but, man, every time I've scanned through that market, I'm like, how are the Celtics this big of favorites? random thought for me. I don't really know where I'm going to make a bet there, but there, I think again, just when we go back to MVP, you're talking about some of these teams, whether it's SGA on the Thunder, Kawhi on the Clippers, obviously Jokic on the Nuggets, but you're like the Western Conference wide open. Any of those teams could easily end up as the one seed. You know, Eastern Conference a little bit more clumped. You got the Celtics and the Bucks 4.5 back, Knicks in third. Now 5 games back of the Celtics, only a half game behind the Bucks for second place there. Cavs been playing great too. They're 5.5 back. Then it's the Sixers 6 games back. I don't know if you have any thoughts on Eastern Conference odds after this Embiid injury. I don't. The only thing I'll bring up is I'm interested to see how long, like if we have a situation where Joel Embiid is out the next, I don't know, 4-6 weeks. I'll say that number. It's going to be interesting to see how well the Sixers play and how big that number drifts to. Because if I knew I had a healthy Joel Embiid coming back for the playoffs, man, if I could get them at over 10-1 or something like that to win the Eastern Conference, that might be a play. That might be something just to monitor here.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. They've actually played better than I expected without Embiid. Even going back to winning that game last night. I mean, Maxey's just ridiculous. Some of the finishes he had in that game were absurd. So, yeah, it is a team that I could see taking them if the number gets too big. Only thoughts on the Eastern Conference are kind of ones I made earlier in the week or late last week. I think that the Cavaliers are pretty live in the conference. I just kind of like, you know, the collection of talent that they have. I think that the stuff that they did over the summer really did address some really big needs for them in terms of perimeter shooting. And I don't know if there's another move to be made at the deadline, but I do not think the gap between them and those top teams is all that big.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think so either. I think, especially over the past month, I think the Knicks and Cavs have at least shown that they belong, but at least belong in the conversation with teams like the Bucks and the Sixers. Maybe not with the Celtics yet, but yeah, I'm with you. They've definitely closed that gap where I had those top three teams kind of in the East a little bit more separated from anybody else. And I would say the Knicks and Cavs have definitely clawed their way into that conversation. Yeah. Let's see. Rich Paul had to tell ESPN today that LeBron James is not going to get traded. I don't know if we really need to relive that, but oh boy, did I go down a rabbit hole on that situation last night. Getting reports from OKLA reporters that he could possibly be traded by the Lakers. And oh boy, did the rumors run amok from there. It was, man, I saw the Heat tied into trying to get LeBron back. I think I saw the Cavs tied into
Three-minute Stephen A. Smith plea for the Knicks to trade for him.
Oh, what, was there that today as well? Yeah, that was quite an ordeal last night. I don't think that I ever got to the point where I believed anything, Zach. But I said it to you before we started recording. The fact that Rich Paul had to go and tell ESPN that he wasn't going to get traded tells me that there was more to this than not. I feel like LeBron James is well ahead of where he needs to be in life to put trade rumors to bed about himself. Like if there wasn't something a little bit going on there, I feel like they would have never addressed this and kind of laughed it off. What I mean by that, I'm not saying that LeBron James demanded a trade or anything like that, but we have seen several seasons during LeBron James' career where it's okay. And I mean, geez, with the hourglass emoji tweet, like I struggle enough with younger people that we work with trying to figure out what the hell they Slack emojis to mean to me. I have no idea what these emojis are for stuff, but hourglass, I think that's one you can read into a little bit. And we've seen plenty of seasons where LeBron James has made demands of his front office, and LeBron James usually gets what he wants. So I'm kind of clumping all of this together. Where that was I'm sure LeBron has been talking to the front office frequently. I doubt he's been talking about trading himself, but I bet you he's been having some conversations with them about shaking up this front office. So, you know, the fact that some stuff could leak out of there like that, I'm not shocked to see. No, I don't expect LeBron going anywhere, but I do expect the Lakers to be pretty active or try to be active here before the trade deadline.
Yeah, I would bet there's a pretty big push behind the scenes for DeJounte Murray to be a Laker. Given the clutch ties, given their need to improve in the backcourt, I like Austin Reeves, but I wouldn't keep him out of a trade for Murray if it keeps, you know, a pick around or something like that. But I don't know. I do think that I agree with you that LeBron will be on this team by the end of the season. I don't know that he'll be on this team next season. I think that there's a lot of uncertainty with this summer and, you know, kind of Bronny coming into the league too. I think that there is some validity. Yeah. There's some validity to that. Like that there's this draft coming up and, you know, he has to sign a giant extension, I believe, every year. So I don't know. I'm
with you there. I mean, we were talking about it and kind of tracking this throughout a numbers game this morning because we hadn't really gotten the Rich Paul statement yet. So yeah. We were kind of talking about it. And like, the Bronny thing's a thing. Like, that's a thing. No matter what, I know we got plenty of tweets. We had Jason Weingarten say on the show, he's watching him last night. The kid he's not even good enough to be playing for USC right now. And like, that might be the case, but like, Thanasis Antetokounmpo is on the sidelines of an NBA team every single night. We see what he's doing. Like, it is, sorry, Bronny James will be playing with LeBron James. LeBron has stated as much already. So I fully believe that will occur here in the next couple seasons. What team is it on, though? I don't know. And I mean, right, Zach? Like, that's another one of these. That's where I wasn't the guy immediately last night that was like, okay, this is all BS that I'm hearing on LeBron, because that's another thing that you have to factor in. You know, he wants to play with Bronny. Like what we don't know is whether the Lakers are okay with that or not. Right. And so that might mean him needing to find another team to go to. So I'm with you there. I don't know that I'm even willing to go as far to say as I don't think he's going to be a Laker next season, but yes, I don't think he's going to be traded now. Yes, I believe that's going to be an issue, though, at some point, whether it's in LA or somewhere else. So something to keep our eyes on, and I don't think we need to spend much more time on it. LeBron's not going anywhere. The Lakers are desperate to get some W's. They got one last night without LeBron James on the floor, so they'll take that anytime they can get it. All right, Zach, let's take a quick break here, come back, and we will run through the whole card for tonight.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Welcome back, Hardwood Handicappers. Zach Cohen, Kelly Bidlin with you. No JVT today. All right, Zach, we're going to run through the whole card here. I don't know what we're going to call this. Friday Fun Days or Fast Fridays with Zach and Kelly. I don't know. We're going to try to go through the whole card, though, give you our bets, get you out of here, get us all going on a nice Friday. Go get an early happy hour or something like that. You know. All right, Heat at Wizards. This game, 7:10 Eastern, 4:10 Pacific time. Looking at the Heat as 8.5-point road favorites here. No Duncan Robinson for the Heat tonight. On the Washington side, let's see, no Marvin Bagley. Looks like Jordan Poole will go. Total in this game, 228.5. I'm going to start right away with JVT, I believe, who laid the wood with this game. Yes, he is on the Heat tonight. Did lay the full 8. Zach, did you do anything with this one? I did not touch this one at all.
I have Bam Adebayo over 11.5 rebounds. So somewhat concerned with JVT having the -8, because I think the only thing I'm really worried about in this game is, you know, it's such a blowout that Bam doesn't need to play a lot. But the Wizards are the second worst rebounding team in the league. Adebayo's averaging 12 rebounds per game over his last 20. In there has been several, you know, 15, 20 rebound games. I wouldn't be surprised if he hit the 15 mark tonight. I usually like to play some alternates, but I didn't hear because I do think that there's a really good possibility that the Heat win easily. But I do think that 12 is a really attainable number against the team that just doesn't rebound very well. I could see Bam having, you know, a bunch on the offensive glass as well.
Yeah, me too. This total's interesting. 228 feels low for a Wizards game, but oh man, the Heat are just like dead under team right now with the lack of offense and then the defense. It's all right. Clippers at the Pistons. Clippers laying 11.5 to 12 on the road tonight. Total in Detroit 238.5. Let's see. Looks like Paul George will go tonight for the Clippers. Looks like Cade Cunningham will go tonight for the Pistons. Nothing for me on this one either. Anything for you, Zach?
No, but I mean, I don't really think that the Pistons should be getting double digits anymore. I mean, they're 8-1 against the spread in their last 9 games. They haven't really been losing games in blowout fashion. So I do think that you kind of get the Clippers like in the middle of a long road trip. Like this could easily be a game where they're just completely phoned it in. And I don't know. I think that I would take the points here if I needed to take something.
Yeah, I'm with you. No play for me. I would definitely be taking points before laying it, though. You are talking about the fifth game on the road in a row for the Clippers. Man, this is a hell of a schedule.
And I do worry about the Clippers going at Miami, at Atlanta with the personnel on that team. They might not be up for those games.
What are you saying, Zach? Yeah. Is there somebody on the Clippers that likes to go to strip clubs or something? Is that what you're trying to say? This is the James Harden spot of all spots.
It's great.
I hadn't really looked at this schedule. So yeah, it is at Detroit tonight.
Back to backs too. It's
yeah. First of all, this road trip started last Friday. They had to go all the way to Toronto, which that is one of the low key toughest road places to play on the road. You ever hear these NBA players talk? They hate going to Toronto because they have to go through customs and everything, and it just makes everything a longer process. At Toronto, at Boston, at Cleveland, at Washington, at Detroit tonight, and then it will be Sunday afternoon game. Oh, this is a 6 p.m. Eastern tip at Miami, and then turn around Monday back to back at Atlanta 7:30. So they're gonna play in Detroit tonight, assuming fly to Miami right after they get the whole weekend in Miami. What can possibly go wrong, Zach? I mean, you would hope a team from LA isn't, you know, falls in with the South Beach flu, but oh man. Something to monitor, and might be having to bet the Atlanta Hawks at a big number actually on Monday, which sounds really gross, but I don't know. Between Hawks or Heat this weekend, that is something we're going to have to monitor. I've lost where we're at. Suns and Hawks. There we go. They're Atlanta Hawks. There we go. Suns at Hawks, 7:40 Eastern time, 4:40 Pacific. Suns, 3.5-point road favorites right now, 249 and a half on this one. This is where I started my card tonight. And I believe, if I can find the sound. Boom. All three of us on the Suns tonight. Suns 8-2 their last 10, plus 7.9 net rating in that time. One of the best offenses in the league over the past 10 games, really getting stuff together. They as well on a lengthy road trip here. Hawks 5-5 their last 10. Minus 6.3 net rating outside of garbage time minutes in that time zone, though, or time frame, I should say, but, you know, in the Eastern Conference time zone probably as well. I laid the three with Phoenix tonight. I've been playing them fairly regularly, actually, here over the past couple weeks, it feels like, Zach. Pretty simple handicap for me. This Hawks team struggling mightily this season, have picked up a couple more wins here, but as you see reflected in their net rating, still not playing great basketball. Trade rumors swirling around the team, throw all that in there, you get the Suns team playing a little bit better basketball with all three stars on the court, all expected to go tonight. Pretty easy look for me to lay 3 points in that game.
Yeah, I mean, we're finally getting the offensive version of the Suns that we thought we'd be getting. With those three guys on the floor, offensive rating of 131.5, you know, almost 10 points better than the Pacers, who have a 121.9 offensive rating this season, who are the first in the league in offensive rating. So it's a special team offensively when these guys are healthy. And what we've seen over the last 15 games is a league average defense, which we've said it a million times, you know, when talking about the Bucks as well. If you have an elite offense, all you need is a league average defense. The Suns have it right now. I wouldn't doubt at some point that this gets bumpy. It seems to always happen with the Suns. There are always stretches where they do struggle, but you're talking about a Hawks team that, sloppy as can be on the defensive end, there should be really good looks to go around for Phoenix, and defensively, and you know, just a couple good minutes where you really lock in and defend, and you should have a big lead at some point. You just have to hope not to blow it in the fourth quarter, which, you know, they've made some moves to address that lately, moving the rotation around a little bit. Booker starting the fourth because they are trying to combat that fourth quarter net rating. But yeah, I think it's a good team right now to bet on.
Who goes further in the playoffs, the Bucks or the Suns?
Man, it's hard to. I really think at this point that if the Bucks get the Knicks in the second round, I'll take the Knicks. So yeah. I guess my answer is the Suns.
I feel like it's an impossible question to answer anyways. I feel like they probably both make like the second round and then it gets really iffy after that.
Yeah.
But I hear you. I hear you. I mean, if the Bucks look like they look right now, I mean, I think there'll be plenty of people interested in betting against them early. That's for sure. Okay. 7:40 Eastern, Kings at the Pacers. Right now, Kings 3.5-point road favorites as we record. It is 2:15 Eastern time. This total is 247.5 to 248. Let's see. We got Haliburton questionable, Miles Turner questionable, Benedict Mathurin questionable, all on the Indiana side with those injuries up in the air. I have not done anything with this. Did you do anything with this game, Zach?
I didn't. I'm considering adding the Kings. I like them quite a bit. I just thought that Indiana used a lot of energy in that loss to the Knicks last night. That must have been a pretty deflating loss. I also like, I would be surprised if Tyrese Haliburton played on the back of back on the back, yeah, to back, after dealing with that injury. And you know, he wasn't playing at the end of that game last night. I don't know if that was like a tweak or if it was just part of the minutes restriction. But I do think, yeah, this seems like a pretty good spot to go to the Kings. It's, you know, two really good offenses, two meh defenses, but I think that you're going to get less offensive efficiency out of Indiana if Haliburton is limited or not playing.
Yeah, he's the one that jumps out to me here, I guess, is the total from that perspective. I mean, 248, that is damn high if we're talking about Haliburton maybe not playing in this game. I guess Miles Turner defensively offsets some of that, but not really. Mm-hmm. That might be my look here tonight. Hey, I'm going to wait. I mean, either way, I'm not doing anything before I get more injury information. I'm with you, though. I wouldn't expect Haliburton to go tonight. He's been on the minutes restrictions. This is a back-to-back we're talking about here. I think I'd be surprised if he doesn't. If I see word, though, he's not going, I think I'm going to look actually to play in the under here instead of the Kings. But I completely hear. I think this is one you could jump on the Kings at 3.5 before that moves, especially if there's a wave of guys out for the Pacers. Yeah, I think that's a good bet.
And I'd agree if he's out, the under looks like a good play. I mean, yeah. Nembhard's a guy that I really like, but he's definitely a little bit slower in pace, better defensively. It kind of changes the whole makeup of that team.
Yeah, and it feels like that side's being shaded a little bit towards Haliburton being out tonight, but I'm not sure the total really is.
Yep.
That's at least how I'm reading it right now. All right, next up, we got 8:10 Eastern, Warriors at the Grizzlies. This is out to Warriors 8.5, total right around 224.5 is what you're going to see. Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, they are both probable for the Warriors tonight. The Grizzlies rolling out their normal L League. I was going to say G League, but I feel like that's insulting at this point. They got a lot of guys out still. A lot of guys out. Xavier Tillman downgraded to doubtful for tonight. Kennard and Derrick Rose both questionable. I guess it looks like Derrick Rose actually going to go in this game. Upgraded to questionable, so that's probably a good sign. I played this one early, Zach. I've kind of just continued to be fading the Grizzlies while they deal with these terrible, terrible clumps of injuries that they've had across the lineup. Really, I mean, I'll give them some credit. They've played tough. I mean, 108-101 loss to the Cavs the other night at home, 103-94 loss to Sacramento, loss to the Pacers by six. Like, yeah, they're losses, but they're not terrible losses. But man, they're struggling to get going. You're talking about them now on a back-to-back. I know Golden State has not been great. I was shocked when I saw an opening number of 5.5 on this game. Bet it pretty big. I don't know if I'd be willing to lay a full 8, 8.5 with Golden State. I think you're talking a different story when you get up to a number like that. But yeah, the 5.5 yesterday, I did one of those. I don't know if you do this, Zach, where I'm like, you get so confused by a number sometime where I'm like, okay, I'm going to bet this, but like it's Golden State. So maybe like one of their guys is going to be out that I'm just, yeah, you know, that the market's reading that I'm not reading right now, you know? So like I bet it. I really wish now I would have bet it way, you know, way larger than I did. I woke up this morning and moved like 3.5 points. I was like, what the hell am I looking at with this line? So wish I bet it bigger, but still a pretty decent sized bet for me tonight. I laid the 5.5 on the Warriors. But again, the Warriors have had their own struggles. I don't think I'd be running to lay 8.5 at this point. You got anything on this one?
I don't. JVT, I believe, had the Warriors team total over 116.
Oh, yes, he did. Yep, he did. Yep. Yeah, and that could be a good current way to play it. So maybe just a Warriors team total if you don't want to go lay that huge spread. Yeah, I like that look by JVT. I'm going to guess that's what he was thinking a little bit. That makes sense. All right, cool. Raptors at the Rockets, 8:10 Eastern. This is Rockets 4 to 4.5 point home favorites. In this game, total 231 and a half. We are looking at right now. Alperen Şengün questionable tonight for the Rockets. That's a big one on their side. And then Toronto, I am seeing Emmanuel Quickley, Poeltl, and RJ Barrett all questionable for the Raptors. This is not a game I really thought to do much with in the much with anyway, Zach. But especially with that injury report, not really. Not really jumping out of my seat to make any moves here. Did you do anything with this one?
I didn't. I have a kind of a lean on Toronto because I do think that the questionable tags for some of these guys that have been out mean that they'll be back tonight. And they also are coming off, you know, an extra day of rest. I don't think they've played since Tuesday. I also kind of wonder about the mind state of, the mindset of this Houston team right now with like every rumor kind of suggesting that they're willing to trade any of these young guys for the most available win now player there is. So I think it's a good spot to be grabbing the points. I think the Rockets are, I really liked them when I saw that Dylan Brooks was back, but I think that there's something weird going on with this team where I'd be more inclined to fade them a little bit in these next.
Yeah.
Weeks.
I didn't get the, I feel like I've heard in the past 24 hours that Jalen Green is on the trading block and likely would get traded. And then I've also heard in the past 24 hours that because of Jalen Green's recent great play, he's been pulled off the trading block and the team's not willing to trade him. So I have, to your point, I have no freaking clue what's going on in Houston. And it does sound like I agree with you. I think that they are trying to be aggressive here and get someone in there. So, yes, I look, this always becomes a tougher time of year to bet the NBA because there are stuff like this going on. I don't know how it's probably a good time to talk about this anyways. I don't know how you usually approach this. If there's a team, though, that I feel like there's rumors swirling around and they got major questions, usually one I avoid just either way. Betting on or against is usually not something. You don't really know how truthful some of that stuff is. Everything might be absolutely fine in the locker room. I just always go back to the simple philosophy of the biggest advantage you have as a bettor is that the books have to post every single game. You don't have to bet every single game. And we've got plenty of NBA games to bet throughout a year. That whenever there's some of those running through my mind, unless I think it is definitely a negative impact, which it often is on teams like Houston in this spot tonight, I'll usually avoid it. But I do think there is enough going on surrounding Houston right now that I think that's fair to incorporate that into a handicap right now with them.
Yeah, I mean, it was a really good article by Kelly Yiko at The Athletic. I thought that, you know, he laid it out really perfectly that, you know, Ime Udoka came in there with win now expectations. It goes all the way up to the front office. So I see, you know, why that they, you know, they see Green being able to dangle him for a player like Mikal Bridges. That was a trade that I talked about early in the season as one I wanted to see, actually. And to see that it's now a rumor is kind of crazy. But yeah, I think that you see it a lot with these players that are just being mentioned in trade rumors a lot. It's really hard to play. I think a good example is last night, Jordan Clarkson played really poorly for the Utah Jazz in a close loss. I think I saw Tony Jones, another guy from The Athletic who covers the Jazz, said, you know, he just hasn't been himself the last couple of weeks. You could see he's a little dejected. That comes with being, you know, mentioned in trade rumors. You don't know these, you know, the future of you, where you're going to live. It's just a tough situation.
Yeah, absolutely. Man, I was thinking about that some with even when we saw Dame return to Portland the other night, of just like, you know, it's like his whole family's still back there. Like his whole life is there. It's just he's literally on this extended business trip for the entire year of like playing and living in Milwaukee. And I mean, I definitely was wondering, it's like, well, like we never think about these things with how much it impacts someone's play. And like Lillard has not had, you know, one of his best seasons, and I don't want to chalk it all up to that, but it makes you wonder and it makes you think, and everybody is human at the end of the day. These guys do have to think about this stuff just like the rest of us. All right, let's keep cruising. Pelicans at the Spurs, 8:10 Eastern. This game right now, Pelicans, actually surprised this hasn't gone up more. 7.5, 8-point road favorites. New Orleans is Zion Williamson, Herb Jones, both questionable tonight. Looks like Zach Collins will go for the Spurs. Total in this game is 233.5. Nothing yet for me here, Zach, but I got close to pulling the trigger on the Pelicans last night, and seeing that number's barely moved has me, probably should have me less interested, I guess, but I'm not more intrigued to see it still at the same number. Did you play anything in this game?
No, I've been really tempted by these home lines with the Spurs, who I thought have been playing much better lately, but they've kind of faded a bit, and this has been a really tough matchup for them this year. The Pelicans have beat up on them twice. 15-point win early December, 36-point road win in the middle of December. It's just I don't think that the Spurs have an answer for what the Pelicans have offensively, and I don't think that's going to change here, but I do think that 7.5 is a lot.
Yeah, I'm going to sometimes when you get me hosting the show, you're just going to get live what do they call it, train of thought or whatever, stream of consciousness, that sort of thing. I think this is a side I'm not going to do anything with pre-game, but it is going to be on my short list of live betting tonight. If Pelicans get down early and they're shooting poorly or something like that, I'll be jumping in. If I can get in on Pelicans at 5 or shorter or something like that, Lang, I would be interested in that side. Okay, cool. Hornets at the Thunder, 8:10 Eastern. Wow, Thunder out to 15.5 point favorites in this game, 225.5. Anything that, we'll see, LaMelo Ball is doubtful tonight, so that makes a little bit more sense. No Jalen Williams still for the Thunder. No Isaiah Joe either. What? Sternum injury. What the hell happened to Isaiah Joe?
I have no clue.
I don't even know what happened with that one. He's been great for them this season. So okay, that's not nothing. Both those guys out for the Thunder. They are laying 15.5 points. Anything for you tonight, Zach Cohen? Because I sure as hell did not touch this game.
No, I mean, if I had to play something on this, I'm taking the points, but I'm not going to do that to myself.
Yeah, no, I think the only thing would be if you had something player prop wise, spread total, I think are really, really tough here. All right, let's keep cruising. Magic at the Timberwolves, 8:10 Eastern time. We got Timberwolves are 6.5 point home favorites, 212.5. This total's at Rudy Gobert. This news came down about an hour or two ago. Actually, maybe a little bit longer. I've been busy. A couple hours ago, Rudy Gobert is questionable tonight with an ankle injury. That, considering that just popped up, worried he's not going to go. I did play the under in this game tonight at 213.5 yesterday. It had come down quite a bit. I think it got down to like 211, 210, something like that. And then I think it shot back up after Gobert got put on the injury list. Yeah, 211.5, kind of where it got down to for the most part. So bounces back up a point with Gobert on the injury report. I'm not going to buy off my position. This wasn't a big bet for me. Probably also worth explaining in these on these pods that totals I don't bet nearly as big as sides. Don't know why. I know why. I just have not nearly had the lifetime success with totals that I've had with sides. So it is always something I bet a little bit smaller. But not buying off my position or anything. Both of these teams, we've been talking about Minnesota's defense all year long, but third best defensive rating over their last 10 games, allowing about 110.6 points per 100 possessions. You know, meanwhile, middle of the road offense during that time, Orlando kind of seeing a little bit the same things from with Franz back. You and I think highlighted that very early, how important we thought he was to this Magic team when he went out of the lineup. We saw them lose a bunch of games after that. They're playing better with him back in. I'm not gonna discount that. Defense has been better. 10th best defense over the last 10 games. 115 points per 100 possessions allowed on defense. 23rd in offensive rating over that time. But, you know, Franz has gotten back. They've gotten a little bit better on the offensive side, too. I went under 213.5, though. Never see teams like this. I think this is going to be a real low-scoring game tonight. Offensive struggle between two solid teams, two solid defenses. We've even seen this Magic team play pretty well on the road. So I went under. I think side would lean towards the Magic, too. Now that we're under 7, it's a little bit less attractive. I'll be passing there, but did play under this total. Zach, do you have anything in this one?
No, I like your underplay. I was a little torn on this spread as well. I think that this is one where, you know, Minnesota's a really good home team, definitely the better team between the two. But the Magic have been, you know, a feisty road team. They're 15-10-2 against the spread on the road this year. They tend to cover the number. So I thought this was kind of a lot of points for them to be getting in what could be a really low scoring game. So
yeah,
I just stayed away from it.
Yeah. We don't often talk about that in the NBA, but you know, same thing applies as it does in baseball or football or anything. Low total, bigger spread. There's always going to be more value on every point that you're getting in that spread. So yeah, when you're seeing, you know, 212.5 and then a 6.5 point spread, it is actually pretty juicy. I'm going to pass, but I did stare at that for a little while last night. Okay, last game of the night, 9:10 Eastern, Blazers at the Nuggets. Right now, this is Nuggets 12.5-point favorites, 219.5, your total. Nikola Jokic is questionable for this game, given that spread. And just given Nikola Jokic having missed the last game, I would expect him back tonight. I think this is what we're seeing here. If he's not, I have nothing on this game, Zach, but if he's not, I'll be jumping on the Blazers at 12.5 if I can beat that move.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's funny. I'd take the Blazers if Jokic doesn't play. I would take the Nuggets if he does, because I do think that the Blazers are coming off that emotional win over Dame the other night. They actually won outright, and I think that was like an NBA championship for them. I mean, I saw DeAndre Ayton posting pictures on Instagram of like him celebrating the win with his teammates. Like, I think that they took that game really seriously because of who was in town.
Yep.
That's recipe for a really bad performance on the road the next night, especially at altitude, you know, against a Denver team that I think could use a pretty big win.
You know what, Zachary? I think that's a great point, and I'll probably just remain off of Portland regardless. Actually, that's not true. I'll still. Jokic is too big. If you could scoop up 12.5 points, like that's going to move. That will move 4 points. You know, something like that. Yeah. If Jokic is out, so I will still be grabbing that if I can beat the move. Otherwise, no. And what we're talking about, obviously, is if you can still bet the plus 12.5 before the books adjust to the news. That is, I know if you don't bet the NBA like us and with odd screens in front of you and news going directly to my damn phone all day long, you probably don't get that opportunity. But, you know, fortunately, that is a lot of the betting that we do that I do is catching injury report news, catching injury news and getting bets in before the books move. That is a lot of what I do. All right, cool. Let's hit the recap, my friend.
Best bet recap.
All right, for JVT, I have erased them, but I think I've got them all memorized. He's on the Heat, laying 8. He's on the Suns, laying the points. And he's on the Warriors, team total over. For myself, I have Suns laying the 3. I have Warriors laying 5.5. Would not lay it at the current number, though. And I'm on Magic Timberwolves under 213.5. I would still play under 212.5. However, right now, I would wait for confirmation that Gobert is going to be in there. No Gobert probably would avoid this play on what's already a short total. Zachary, run through all your plays for this evening.
I'm jealous that you got the 3 on the Suns, because I'm a nervous feeling about that. But I do have Suns minus 3.5.
Oh, you're fine. Why would you say anything like that? It's totally going to land 3 now, just because you said that.
Yeah, I have Suns minus 3.5 and Bam Adebayo over 11.5 rebounds. Short card for me today.
Okay, all right. Get all of Zach and JVT's daily NBA write-ups at VSiN.com. They're writing about their bets every single day over there, including on the weekends. We don't do this pod on the weekend, though, so we'll see y'all on Monday. Later.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.